Yes, the concept of self-love can be confusing. It's sometimes used to hide negative traits or toxicness. I've read the magazines that say the negatives of this of self-love are narcissism, selfishness, arrogance, and others. But I'll tell you, in my world, those aren't even a part of love. So that's not the negative of self-love. It just isn't love. When I talk about self-love or loving yourself, I'm talking about healthy self-love. My heroin-addicted mother loved me. She did. My alcoholic father loved me. Was it healthy love? No, absolutely not. Now, I know that every point that I make in this presentation could be a book, and it probably is somewhere, but this is a Reader's Digest version. I've told the congregation before how I completely came to love myself. So those that have heard it, you get to hear it again. One night during prayers and meditation, I said, I'm just going to lay here and feel how much you love me. And I got this river, this tsunami of love and acceptance, and there's not even enough vocabulary to say what I felt in that short amount of time. But I felt it, and every cell of my body stood up and did a happy dance. And since that time, I have loved me, and it changed me. One reason I can tell you that it changed me, there's many examples, but one is that I'm an empath. And I used to walk into a room, and if everyone was down in that room, you know, after 45 minutes, I kind of wilted and was down. I don't know, maybe when you love yourself, there's no room for anything else. Because now I can walk into that same room, and everybody's down, and I feel it, and I know it, and I'll sit there and feel their feelings, maybe talk to them, and talk to my neighbor, and after 45 minutes, his light turns on, and he feels better, and then he talks to somebody and turns on, and the whole room can change. Doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough to keep me going. I love everybody. How can I not? Because I'm so loved. I love the serial killer while he's killing, and I love babies. Now, would I invite the serial killer home for dinner? No. But I love him. I just do. Self-love is a concept in positive psychology that promises well-being, and as an intangible experience, sure, but it's generally defined as a multidimensional state of balancing focus on yourself with kindness, acceptance, support, and nurturance, and setting healthy boundaries. So what does it look like when I treat myself kindly? It means that I decide to cherish my joy and peace and connect with those things that make me feel good and the world around me and others. When I was younger in my journey, I started hearing myself negative thoughts that came from habit, and I allowed would cancel them and replace them with something positive. An example is, I was told I was ugly most of the first 20 years of my life. So when somebody gave me a compliment, said I was pretty, I could never accept it. I'd say, I'm not, thanks, but I'm really not. Then I realized by listening to myself that I was repeating an old insult. So I'd say aloud, cancel that, no, and thank you very much for the compliment. What does treating myself with acceptance look like? I treat myself with kindness, no more telling myself off. I accept myself wholeheartedly, warts and all, because I have a healthy love for myself. And I do prioritize my health. This thing that holds all these cells together, I try to keep it healthy. I don't beat me up. I cancel old tapes if I hear them in my head. I don't judge me. I treat myself with the same love and compassion and kindness that I would treat a close friend. I'm creating a nurturing, strong, healthy relationship with myself that allows me to thrive. What does supporting myself look like? First, to support myself, I have to know who I am, and I do know who I am. I know what makes me happy, what my principles are, and how to honor myself. And that takes a while to learn, but I do know me. I try not to be someone I'm not. Being me encompasses overcoming and facing internal obstacles created throughout life. I'm still becoming, growing, and learning, and I still try to be the best version of myself. If after deciding something, others are unhappy with it, it's okay. I'll keep that decision unless I'm told some information that I didn't have before that changes it. I'm okay with people disagreeing with me because I support me. I'm okay with people not liking me because I love me. Nurturing look like? It's more than just self-care. It's truly IDing what I need and knowing I'm worthy and taking the time to evaluate and learn how to best offer me the practice of self-love. It's me involved in behaviors that promote and support my overall health and happiness, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and psychologically, just as I would take care of someone I love. In my inner circle, I surround myself with whole, healthy, and truthful friends, and I invest time in keeping them. I come to the SLC as a gas station to set my emotional tone for the week. I read and watch spiritual themes along the way. I help others and guard that I do not enable them. I spend time knowing who I am, and I live it. I protect and extend my peace. I don't stay in my comfort zone all the time because I love to learn and I love to grow. I meditate and I get enough sleep most of the time. What does setting boundaries look like? Let me tell you, setting boundaries is crucial to self-care. The more you know about yourself, the healthier boundaries you will be. And I'll give you an example. I was in a really good friendship, I thought, with a really good friend who I absolutely loved. Saw her all the time, talked to her all the time, called the phone and still had stuff to say. And then it takes me a while to figure this out. But one year I realized I was going to her house 3, sometimes 4 days a week. And she wasn't coming to mine. I was calling her. She was never calling me. She was getting her stuff done at her house while I was there. I stuffed it all in a weekend, just like I'd worked 40 hours a week. So I had one of those little calendars that you write everything in. It was pre-computer that I put everything on there. And I counted up the days I had seen her that year. I'd visited her, if I hadn't missed some, 96 times. And then I counted the time she came to my house once, and it was for a reading group. I thought, whoa, this is really uneven. Now, I didn't want tit for tat, but I did want it to be more reciprocal, because more reciprocal was going to be more respectful. So I told her, look, I've come to see you 96 times, and you've come to my house once this year. And she said, oh, that can't be. I said, oh, it is, unless I miscounted and, you know, I visited you 100 times, I don't know, but 96 I wrote down. And she went, huh, well, and I said, we need, and she said, I will, and she didn't. And I started drawing away from her, and believe me, it was hard because I absolutely loved her, but I didn't love her in spite of me. Now we are casual friends, not close friends. But we're still friends. And that was a very healthy boundary for me. I express my feelings responsibly. I use I statements and not you statements. To do this, I also watch how my body responds to people and messages. I'm aware of how I feel, and sometimes I don't answer because I have to go home and contemplate it. If someone shows me who they are, I believe them. I know they're a liar. I don't sugarcoat it to myself or rationalize it or overanalyze it. It is what it is. Someone who consistently lies might be a casual friend of mine, but they will never be in my inner circle. It means that I don't talk to myself over and over and over about Bad Betty. And excuse me if anybody's name is Betty. It just was great alliteration. Oh, Bad Betty disrespects me and she does this and she does that. Once I recognize that, I will tell Bad Betty, listen, you can't talk to me that way at work or at home or whatever. I don't want to be talked to that way. That's a healthy boundary. And if they continue to do so, then she doesn't respect or care about how I feel. Now, if I keep talking about Bad Betty to my inner circle of friends, they'll call me on it. Excuse me, didn't we go over this last week about Bad Betty? Right, Sue? And you'll say, have you done something about it, or are you just going to gripe? And I appreciate that honesty because it keeps me growing. I set boundaries, I keep them, and celebrate my achievements. My boundary setting takes a lot of thought because once I make them, I make myself adhere to them. Self-love is mostly a journey, not a destination. I'm still learning new ways to love myself. I'll find new ways to bring myself higher. I find new things from old tapes that I still do. It's a process. It takes time and practice to develop a healthy sense of self-worth. One study from a 2021 trusted source suggests that self-love is comprised of five components: self-cherishing, self-acceptance, self-restraint, self-responsibility, and self-persistence. So, what does self-cherishing look like? Self-cherishing, by the way, is also, I believe, a Buddhist concept. One example could be thinking, am I thinking of how I could help the world? Or am I thinking about what the world needs? It's subtle, but in the first example, I'm thinking of the big I. What can I do to help the world? In the second one, I'm thinking about what? What does the world need? Maybe it needs me to go out in a field and remove a bunch of manure. I don't know. I won't know if I'm thinking of the big I. And it's a question I need to ask because I'm a recovering Baptist. And in the Baptist religion, you were told to give and give and give and give and give and give and give. Not once in any religion was I told to take care of myself, to honor myself. You're supposed to keep giving. And I did, but I got emotionally bankrupt and was low-grade depressed underneath this smile that I presented back then. It's not worth it. Get to know yourself, love yourself, and cherish yourself. We covered self-acceptance earlier. I treat my friend with the same love and compassion that I'd give. I treat myself with the same love and compassion that I would treat a friend. What does self-restraint look like? Well, first of all, it's different from self-control. To do this, I had to know the difference, both on a conscious level and an introspective level. Both are good to have, by the way. When you have self-control, you may have a healthy lifestyle, for example. Another example is you develop healthy habits and routines that support long-term goals. By self-restraint, though, I can avoid impulsive decisions that would have a negative effect on the long run. Self-restraint can also build trust in others and contribute to a sense of peace. As an example, I avoid environments that could trigger impulsive behavior. For example, I never talk about politics with my stepbrother. We just don't. And if he starts to go, whoa, I'm not talking about that, because we see the world completely differently. Another example is I build a network of like-minded folks who tell me the truth, even when I don't quite want to hear it. That's the best truth there is. What does self-responsibility look like? It means I recognize that my life depends on the choices I make. The buck stops with me. No blaming others. I am the cause of all my situations. I accept that. I don't blame others. I don't make excuses. I own my mistakes and apologize. I know my limits, although I'm still learning these, because the limits are shifting. Told my husband I'd clean out the bottom garden. I couldn't move dirt. The shovel went in an inch because I'm not as strong as I was 7 years ago. So I came in and told him, I can't move dirt, and he did it. I make amends when necessary. I do what's right, even when it's hard. And let me tell you, lots of times, right is hard, but it feels so good once you've done it and you're on the other side. I forgive myself and others with no withholds or resistance. What does self-persistence look like? It means I'm constantly working towards goals. First, for me, I have to know what my goals are. Say my goal is a boundary. I have to think it out, make it, communicate it, and then enforce it. Part of persistence is determination, the unwavering resolve to pursue the goal. It took me 20 years, 2 kids, and 9 house moves to get through college. But I did, because it was always a goal. Maybe a term I didn't go because we just didn't have the money, or I was too strapped emotionally to put that energy out. But I always knew that I was going to go. Perseverance. There are challenges and setbacks getting through college and even high school. There were times when I didn't take classes because of the reasons I told you. Endurance is also a needed capacity to withstand prolonged effort through difficulty, like college, like high school, because I went to 18 different high schools by the time I graduated, but I knew I would graduate because it was a goal. I was going to do it. According to the study, authors, these components appear in your life across 4 dimensions, self, family, others, and society. In other words, when you show self-love, it affects more than you. It impacts how you engage with the world. In a statistical method used to understand the relationship between a dependent variable and one more independent, researchers define self-love as an example of kindness towards yourself that features self-contact, paying attention to yourself, self-acceptance, and care. So now, you don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to say, I don't quite love all of me. I'm going to love all of me tomorrow or today. Just every day, love yourself a little bit more. And then at night, ask yourself, did I love myself a little bit more? Was I a little kinder to myself? And you'll grow. And when you grow in kindness, you grow in leaps and bounds. And that concludes my talk. And I hope you all go home loving yourself a little more.